We are now back with Dr. El Sayed talking about the COVID situation. Doc, in the first program, you made a reference to the Senate Republican leader setting plaudits to the governor. I would never try to put words in your mouth. I've known you too long, but let me try anyway. Is the governor folding to political pressure not to do what you think she should do vis-a-vis the COVID?
I don't know what's in the governor's mind. I know that she's got a far more complex job than mine, and I also appreciate the fact that I am not juggling all of those responsibilities. And like I said, I am deeply grateful for the incredible work that she did both in the spring and in the fall to take this pandemic down. The worry that I have in this circumstance is, why is it that we are not doing it now when the level of cases and the level of hospitalizations are approaching an all-time high in the state of Michigan? This is the time for action. And I hear you that people are sick of this, that it's been more than a year of this, and that the appetite for something like this isn't there. But I do believe that the justification, both scientifically and in terms of the level of cases, are. And I know that the responsibility of a governor is to stand in and do the hard things. And she's done it before, and I hope that she does it again.
She may not be happy that you said what you said here today.
You know, my job is to call it how I see it. My responsibility, first and foremost, as a physician and an epidemiologist, is to the science. I'm being entirely consistent with all of the other public health officials that are not part of the state government right now who have called for this, whether it was the CDC director or the majority and consensus of scientists who've been focused on this issue. We need a lockdown here in Michigan. And, politics being what it is, I understand why that's difficult. And science being what it is, I understand why lacking the action that we need is deadly. And so if it's between saving Michiganders' lives or doing what's politically feasible, I know that the governor's going to make the right decision.
Stephen.
Abdul, we're still arguing in Lansing over how to spend this billions and billions of dollars that's coming from the federal government to help us with COVID. But one of the conversations that I think is coming soon is how to spend that money in ways that help us out long term. In other words, fix structural problems rather than fill gaps. I know that's something that you have thought about a lot in terms of policy more generally. I wonder if you've given some thought to how this money might help us fix structural issues.
Yeah, Stephen, I really appreciate the question. And you're absolutely right. You know, when you think about the generation of a pandemic, we all focus on the virus, right? This is the COVID-19 pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. But what caused the pandemic isn't just the virus. It's the circumstance into which the virus fell. We know that people were deeply vulnerable in the context of this pandemic. And in large part, that is because in our state, in our country, we don't invest in people first and foremost. And so what I'd love to see is in Michigan, fixing some of the glaring challenges that affect folks across the state. I think, there may be money coming in this new infrastructure plan for lead piping, but if it doesn't look like that's coming, I think getting all of the lead pipes out of the state of Michigan would be an important responsibility. I think taking on the fact that a lot of the infrastructure in our schools hasn't been updated for decades, particularly in low-income school districts like Detroit, like Flint, these are opportunities for us to give our schools a real update and invest in our young people. I think thinking about affordable housing in a sustainable way is a responsibility of our state. And then I think as we can think about providing people access to high quality, well-paying, sustainable jobs that come with all of the other trappings of a dignified life, the benefits that folks in circumstances like you and I get to take for granted, I think is a real responsibility. I don't know where we're going to be able to achieve consensus. It's rather clear that that consensus is going to be hard to achieve. But if I were thinking about it, those would be the priorities that I'd be bringing to this, because it was the circumstances in which people were hit by this pandemic that made it so awful that that took 560,000 lives in our country. And if we can do something about those circumstances, and rather than going back to normal, build a new normal where we are more resilient to these kinds of assaults, which we know will be coming faster and stronger because of climate change, I think we'll have learned our lesson.
Ms. Clark.
So we've been talking a lot about policy, and for good reason, but let's talk a little politics. I see, do you have your little, is there a little Bernie Sanders on the shelf? Is it the Bernie with the mask?
Bernie's riding shotgun here in this conversation.
Bernie on the shelf instead of Elf on the shelf. So let's talk a little bit. Of course, you have been such a Bernie supporter ever since he ran and won Michigan, right, in 2016, March 2016. You then ran as the progressive wing. There was a lot of talk among Bernie supporters and progressives about the fact that if Joe Biden was the Democratic candidate, that there was no way he could beat Trump. He did. What is, you know, was that somewhat like disappointing, and obviously not disappointing for, you know, you and Democrats, but like, was there something that was sort of like, oh, shucks, because it sort of proved no, maybe moderate middle of the road Democrats can continue to not only win primaries, but, you know, the whole enchilada overall?
I'll say a couple things about that. First and foremost, you know, I celebrated like it was 1999 when Donald Trump was defeated. You know, as a Muslim American, as someone raising a Muslim American daughter, the kind of retrograde, not only narrative, but action that we saw out of the Trump administration had to be defeated no matter who the Democratic nominee was. And so the fact that Donald Trump is no longer president is something that I'm very grateful for. The reality is that even if Joe Biden won the nomination, Bernie Sanders won the future. And I doubt that we are going to see the kind of politics that we saw in the 2019 primary win the day into the future. I just think the party is moving in that direction. And that's largely because of the narrative drive of the conversation that Bernie Sanders started. Even if you look at some of the most important, longest lasting pieces of Joe Biden's early days in office, you look at things like the childhood tax credit, rethinking America's responsibility to the poor, establishing, in effect, a social security for kids. These are the kinds of ideas that I don't think would have been possible without Bernie Sanders having run and without the narrative that he established and without forcing us to rethink questions like deficit spending and investment in the poor, because it's the right thing to do, taking us out of that 40-year governing consensus that, frankly, Democrats have assented to for the past 40 years that started with Ronald Reagan. So, you know,
well,
I think
speaking of 40 years, you have Nancy Pelosi and you have Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, who together have, you know, been in power more than 40 years altogether. Is that, you know, establishment wing leadership doing enough for progressives and for younger voters who were so particularly your supporters for governor back in 2018? Are they doing enough to garner that support?
I think they are reaching. I'd always want to see more. Look, I think there is no better time to be investing in ideas like Medicare for All than after the worst pandemic in over 100 years. I think if we're serious about taking on American poverty, it's not just Social Security for kids. We really need to be thinking about the kind of ideas that underlie the Green New Deal. At the same time, I am pleasantly surprised with what I've seen out of this administration. You see a Joe Biden that is thinking about things like household workers and people who provide care for a living as part of infrastructure, because they are. He's thinking very progressively about questions of poverty and about taking on some of the ways that poverty has affected people. And so I am pleasantly surprised. I do want to see more. I think this infrastructure package could go further. I thought that the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan could have gone further, but I am pleasantly surprised. And, you know, and I really appreciate the leadership in that direction and the way that Bernie Sanders and the progressive movement have created the space for that.
Zachary, final question.
Dr. El-Sayed, you say that you don't see these sort of center of left Democrats being the future of the party, but I mean, Joe Biden won all 83 counties in the state over Bernie Sanders in 2020. Gretchen Whitmer won all 83 counties in the primary that where you and Sri Tanadar were there against her in 2018. And if you look at, you know, basically outside of Congresswoman Tlaib, most elected Michigan Democrats, you know, tend to come from that, you know, and maybe Attorney General Nessel. Most elected Democrats in Michigan seem to come from the more, you know, sort of what you might call the Biden-Whitmer wing of the party, as opposed to the, you know, Tlaib wing of the party. What do you say to that? That they're just the results have not borne out that the sort of uber progressive candidates are going to be successful?
I'll say two things. First, we're watching as you know, the more centrist wing of the party itself is moving left because of the narrative being pushed by the left of the party. The second point, though, is that you had some beautiful pictures of your daughters on the wall there. The high probability, if you think about where they're going to stand politically as they grow older 20 years from now, is that they're going to assume that ideas like Medicare for All, they're the frame of the conversation. Ideas like a Green New Deal, because climate change is quickly bearing down on our Earth, that these are things we just have to do. And so where you look at where young people have gone and where the young vote is going, they'll lead us to the future. And so I'm not worried so much about what a few elections in the past have told us. I'm a lot more focused on what young people are telling us about the future that they want.
Doc, finally, say for me, I will not run for governor in Michigan in 2022.
I will not run for governor of Michigan in 2022. I've already contributed to Gretchen Whitmer's reelect. And I say that, you know, even as I'm pushing her for a lockdown, and I think it is the right public health policy. I admire what she's done over the past of this pandemic. And I'm happy to support her for governor in 2022.
But you would concede that people have asked you about it, have they not, sir?
Well, you know, once you've run for office once, people come up with all kinds of crazy ideas about what you ought to do with your life. I'll tell you this, though, like Zach, I too have a daughter, and, you know, I occupy the best office in the land, which is father to my daughter, and I take that real seriously. And so I want to watch her grow up, and I know that, you know, public service makes that a lot harder. It's not to say that I'm not going to run for anything anytime soon, but that is to say that I'm enjoying being able to be a dad and be present now. And so, you know, I'm in no rush.
Very good. Doc, good luck on the sale of the book. Are you going out hawking the thing on the stump?
I do a lot of this. This is my stump. You know, I'm talking about it to my camera in my basement.
Beautiful. It's good to see you again. My best to you and your family and your little girl. Also, our thanks to Stephen and Zachary and Zoe. See you next week right here on Off the Record. And put this down. In 2 weeks, sitting in that chair over there, a gentleman by the name of James Hoffa. See you then, if not sooner.